Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello, and welcome to the show tonight. I'm so glad you joined us. This is our first show of 2017. I'm so delighted to be here with you, and I'm so delighted you chose to join us. Our topic tonight is Only the Truth Can Set Us Truly Free with Les Jensen. That'd be me. The exciting thing about what 2017 offers us is the threshold we're at and the possibilities that we can create. We're going to talk about the power of the truth and how that looks like from an individual perspective, as well as how it looks like from a collective perspective. So when you think about the condition that humanity is in on this planet right now, I mean, it's pretty evident to see that there's so much turmoil. 2016 certainly had a lot of emotional upheaval within us as individuals, and certainly collectively we had a lot of emotional upheaval. And we're kind of at a point where we're past a lot of the challenging stuff. Certainly there's going to be more challenges in the future, but I think the year 2016 was kind of the trademark year of upheaval. And now at 2017, my sense is, the feeling I get is, people are deciding for themselves it's time to get to the truth of it. It's time to get these things resolved. We can't go through these cycles of making choices that don't honor us. Certainly, we can go through cycles where we have upheaval of incongruencies with our own being. That's always beneficial. I really feel like people are getting a very clear resolve within them that says, okay, it's time to get to work. It's time to stop watching the circus and really stepping up to the plate, if you will. And the truth has everything that we need to show up in a very powerful way. If you're new to the New Human Living platform, New Human Living is all about you and your potential as a human being here on this planet. When we talk about human potential, we're really talking about our divinity, the divine spark, the divine consciousness within us. And we can't really honor the truth unless we can speak clearly of it. When we talk about the truth and it as a vehicle, as a method, as a modality for creating true and lasting freedom for ourselves individually and for ourselves collectively, the truth is the cornerstone of what will give us lasting peace, peace that will transcend cultures, that will transcend eras of our human story. Here we are, 2017. We can look back at the mythology of our human story, and we can see multiple episodes. There's the Vedic era, the time of Atlantis, there was the Roman Empire, and all these things have come and gone. And certainly we're at a point now where humanity is at a transition point. 2012 was a very significant year when it relates to how the paradigm of our human story is unfolding. And we've certainly moved into some very challenging and years with a lot of upheaval in it for a reason. We have to cleanse and purge ourselves, the past karmic imprinting on our own personal persona if we are indeed going to be able to embody the truth of who we really are. So let's talk about this. The truth of who we are. The truth of who we are and what it holds for us in the sense of personal power and collective power. I know a lot of people look at the upheaval of our culture and they can be very, very, very frustrated with what they're watching going on. And people want to know what they can do about it. People want to know. It can be hard to be flat-footed or sit as an observer and watch this chaos going on without going, now, wait a minute. We got to turn this tide around. And so when we talk about personal power, we need to get clear about a few things. Let's talk about the idea of just power in and of itself. So let's think, what's powerful? Is an army powerful? Is nuclear power powerful? Is a hurricane powerful? What's powerful? When we talk about the truth and what it has to offer us as far as making a difference, making a change in our human story, the truth has to be powerful. There's some fundamental aspects to who we are. And one of those aspects is the idea or the notion of peace, being at peace. And in our Western mind, we can think of peace as not being a place of power. I mean, if I choose peace in my personal story, in my personal preference, and I find the peace, the ocean, the palatable peace within my own being, well, that's not power. We might think that. That's not power. I'm sitting on the couch. How can that be powerful? How can peace, this inaction kind of dormant, kind of still, kind of nothing happening sort of thing, be a powerful place to live? And the idea of Gandhi comes to mind. Peace is a field. Power is a field. Love is a, and what I mean by field is by its sheer presence as a field of effect, it touches all that exists in the field. Whereas force, which is an army, which is a hurricane, which is a nuclear power plant, consumes energy. It goes through process to have an effect. So, and it cannot sustain itself because with that process, anything that has a beginning has an end. A process by its very nature has a beginning and an end. So force consumes energy, has a process, and requires that process to be fulfilled. So if I have a bag of iron filings and I dump them on the table and I want to arrange them in a orderly fashion with force, I'll get out a pair of tweezers and physically pick up each iron filing and arrange it as I see fit. That's force. Nothing happens without exertion, without process. But power is completely different. I bring in a magnet and instantly every single iron filing is affected. Gandhi knew this. So this army shows up, the British show up and say, hey, we think we'll make you British and then we'll own all your resources and we can just exploit you as we see fit. And Gandhi says, no, you know, I looked it up on the suck factor, and that sounds like it sucks. We're not going to do that. Now, in traditional world culture, this is important. In traditional world culture, when an army shows up, you bring your army to the fight. But Gandhi was so brilliant in understanding the power of force. Gandhi stayed in a place of peace. He didn't bring an army. He stayed in the field of peace. And the field of peace touched everyone involved. And the British wanted a fight. They wanted an army so they could follow the general rules of the world that says if one army kicks the butt of another, they're the winners. They have dominion. Come on, Gandhi, where's your army so we can kick your butt and own you? And the brilliance of Gandhi was, I'm not going to play that game. I'm going to embody the field of peace. And the British army showed up and tried to create skirmishes, fired on innocent people, tried to elicit a response, nothing. And eventually the army turned around and left, and to this day, India is free. Power. Power. What is personal power? So here you are sitting there. Here I am sitting here. And we think of ourselves as individuals, perhaps. Well, there's me and there's you and there's everybody out in the world, and we're these human beings and that's that. Well, sure, but there's an etherical, there's an aspect to ourselves as individuals that dictates how we influence the collective from our living room couch, from wherever our physical body is. And that has to do with our own personal power. My soul put me in front of television transmitters many moons ago to learn about power, and television transmitters use power at such a high level, I had to really scratch my head for many years to understand what the hell is this power that I'm working with, and what does it need to bring effect, to be a powerful, positive contribution to society. You push a go button, they light up, and the whole flipping populace can see television just like that. And the reason my soul did that is so I could language power and understand it and then turn around and apply it to the human perspective, the new human perspective of what it means to be a powerful person by your own divinity, by your own existence, not by bringing some attribute into your experience, not a degree, a diploma, a personal office, an award, a political stature. No. Force. No. We're talking about power. Every single one of us is divinity personified. The mystics have said forever about how we are all one and how the divinity, the God essence of God, is portrayed through human beings. So the truth of it is, the truth of what's going to turn our culture around is that it's going to be human beings. You know, when we talked about what was powerful, is it an army? Is it a hurricane? Is it whatever? Well, is it God? I mean, God's the big guy. God's the one that can kick all our asses lickety-split. I mean, God is God. I mean, there's nothing bigger than God. We've been told that if we pray to God and surrender our life to God, that God's going to take care of all this stuff. Well, yes and no. If we look at the history of humanity, it's quite clear that God sucks at ending wars. God's record of ending wars now get clear about this. I'm talking about God as this big glowing entity, this big deity that comes down from the skies and says, hey, knock it off, you clowns, and waves his magical wand, and poof, war stops. He waves the wand, and the cannons fall silent, and the tanks come to a halt. God is not going to end any war on the planet by coming down as a deity or a personification. It ain't going to happen. And that's the truth. Well, can God end wars? You betcha. Has God ended wars in the past? Not as a glowing entity, not as a single divine being, but through human beings personifying their own divinity. As human beings personifying their own divinity. So let's talk about the truth of what it means to be a human. Do you have flesh and bones? Do you have a body? Do you have this vessel that your consciousness rides around in all day? If you have a body, you have a ticket. Just like God didn't come down in any of the battles as some glowing orb, neither did any of the archangels. Neither did the fill in the blank. In order to have a divine effect on what's happening on planet Earth, you need a body. You need a physical body. That's your ticket. That's your permission to be the vehicle, the vessel, the portal, the point of presence of divinity itself. What, me divine? Yep. What, me powerful? Oh, yeah. What, who, what, me? I am the divine walking into this situation? You betcha. Every single solution to our human condition will come through our humanity, our flesh, and our bones. So if you have flesh and bones, you have a ticket. You have a ticket to be of powerful effect in the collective consciousness. Can one person personify divinity for the entire world? Our mythology, our history, the stories of our cultures over time have shown us that never, ever, ever does anybody walk up on the mound and wave their wand and have slums turn into paradise hills instantly. We're here for the experience. There's not going to be a flip of a switch or an instantaneous change of our human condition. We're experiencing suffering, disease, and then poof, instantaneously, in the very next moment, we're all doing a completely different paradigm. That's not how our humanity is made to work. Let's talk about personal power. You know, if we think about power, power helps afford change. You can think of the battery in your car. If your battery's flipping dead, zero, zero power, nothing happens. Nothing happens. And if your battery is fully charged, you have all kinds of choices. You can roll down the windows, play the stereo, drop it in gear, start it up, go wherever you want. This is just an example of the idea. We're taking a metaphor of power so we can understand the divinity of who we are. So let's take, for example, if you're inside, you're probably in a room and there's a floor at the bottom and there's a ceiling at the top. That's a nice, here it is. There's the floor, there's the ceiling. We can use this. It's like a measuring stick of our human consciousness and the power it has to offer us. So let's go down to the floor metaphorically. The way we're going to use this is the ceiling is pure white light. The ceiling is the highest power possible to our human experience. So this is, the ceiling would be your glowing, your light personified, your Jesus, Buddha. Very close to the ceiling would be Gandhi. Your a glowing essence, quite literally a glowing essence of light personified. Your consciousness is at the highest place possible at the ceiling. And then like a grayscale, as we come down off the ceiling, we're going to lose our light slowly until we get to the floor where there is no light. The floor would represent death, the lack of life, the inability to sustain life. A gnat's ass off the floor would be suicide, murder, war. If we come up a little bit off of that, it would be depression and struggling with even staying alive. Maybe PTSD, where your body is so karmically laden, so loaded up with darkness, that light itself is barely able to sustain your life. So this gives us a scale. This gives us a way to understand an etherical aspect of who we are. If you like this model, David Hawkins wrote about it as a map of consciousness. And I'm here in my lifetime. My life purpose is to talk about it from a place of power. And I mean raw power, power like electricity, like an engine, like horsepower, raw power. When we think of our human condition, our personal power could easily be related to on this scale of human consciousness. And what's important to understand about your personal power is our power is logarithmic. It's an exponential scale of power. And what does that mean? It's kind of like earthquake scale. The difference between a level 5 earthquake and a level 6 earthquake is not near as powerful as the difference between a level 6 earthquake and a level 7 earthquake. If we were to think of the distance from the floor to the ceiling as a foot, a ruler, 12 inches. I know it's more than 12 inches, but if we just broke it down into something that we could relate to, and the metric folks listening from around the world, yes, I was raised in America. Yes, I have this, Let's get to the example. What logarithmic means is if I go to the very bottom of the ruler down at the floor and I come up a quarter of an inch off the floor, that's going to be a very low power level. Let's say the floor is zero and the ceiling is 1,000. If I'm at a quarter of an inch off the floor, I'm talking about a very low amount of power. Of course, that's where suicide, depression, barely alive is. So we're talking about 20, 30 units compared to the ceiling, which would be 1,000. And why am I bringing this up? Why is it even important that I'm talking about the logarithmic aspect of human consciousness? Because it's how the power of us as human beings is measured, is quantifiable. This is a way we can wrap our brain around it. So the first quarter inch off the floor isn't much power. We're barely alive at the floor. We're so far into darkness. Our persona is so loaded up with karma that we have a hard time making any kind of change. We're stuck in our dogma. We're stuck in our story. I see people panhandling, and some of them are having a tough time getting through the moment, through the minute or the hour, let alone today or a week or a month. There's no long-term plan. They're barely alive. They're trying to figure out how they're going to live today, in this minute, in this hour. There's no power there. There's no future. There's no planning. There's no creation. They're just treading water trying to stay alive. And that's down at the floor in the most amount of karmic imprinting our persona can take. So as we come up off the floor, we're logarithmically changing our power level. And now let's go up to the top where we've only got a quarter of an inch left. There's only a quarter of an inch left, and we're going to be Jesus or Buddha or the highest possible consciousness that can be personified in a human body. This is glow in the dark. You are a being of light. You can embody unconditional love. Well, that last quarter inch is an immense amount of power difference. Where you move a quarter of an inch, your power level changes so extremely that it totally dwarfs anything else on the scale. Can you see why understanding your personal power can help you understand the value of tending to it? When we talk about personal power, it's a real thing. Like electricity is a real thing. There's probably a light on where you are. If you're listening in your car, you can see headlights. Electricity cannot be seen. It was ignored for eons of time as a non-existent aspect of our environment. But yet today we can see electricity does everything. Electricity is an extremely powerful concept, and yet it's ethereal. You can't see it. You can't look at an outlet and say, oh, there's power there or there's not. You can't look at a battery and say, oh, there's power there or not. You need a voltmeter to see if there's power there. So here you are. Here I am. We're human beings. Do you have power? Do I have power? Does the homeless person panhandling at the curb have power? When we talk about personal power, it's an etherical aspect of ourselves. In other words, it's an intangible. There's not a physical indication of what power we have. But power, when we talk about power in our human form, we're talking about love, the ability to love. If we go up to our scale at the ceiling, we have unconditional love for all that is. The top rung of human consciousness is love personified. Love is the first symbol. Love is the first experience that we can have out of non-dual space. I don't want to get too ethereal here, but unconditional love is the highest form of consciousness that can be personified in the human form. And it is a field of effect, just like a magnet and all those iron filings. It is a field of effect. I've been noodling this idea of power and love and divinity and consciousness for 20 years now. And the reason I'm here on Earth, on planet Earth, is to language the nature of personal power so you, if you choose, as you choose, but if you so choose to become aware of your personal power and then show up as a point of presence of unconditional love for humanity, you can be an immense amount of power in the collective consciousness of humanity, in the collective consciousness of all that is. So the truth that'll set us free is love. And when we lose the truth, when we lose love, We surrender it to some form of fear. Fear has no power of its own. Fear is not real. Well, if you're scared to death, fear is real. Fear requires consciousness to exist. Fear has no power of its own. Fear is a story, a stigma that consumes energy like force, consumes energy to sustain itself because it has no power of its own. Fear consumes consciousness to exist. So we look at the collective consciousness and people are flopping around like a fish in a fry pan, overwhelmed with fear. Can you get an idea of what you could do with your own personification with no effort, no force, just raw, pure power? For you to be a point of presence of unconditional love, which doesn't require action, is to be able to embody love. Love without condition, love without cause, love without motive. These are simple words to say. But to embody it, I suggest, remember we talked about that logarithmic scale? Every single one of us, every single soul in all of existence, whether on this planet or any other planet the space telescopes can show us, will experience unconditional love again. The journey of the soul is we come out of the light up by the ceiling. We come out of the light and over lifetimes we accumulate karma. We load up our karma. And on this planet, we load it up so flippin' much, we can have the experience of feeling powerless, feeling love unlovable, of feeling unworthy, of feeling terrible, of having self-hatred, of having self-depression, self-infliction. We can load up our karmic imprinting so much that there's no life left and we literally die because we cannot sustain life because we are so full of fear. And our collective consciousness has lived there for a very long time. In fact, most of us have no comprehension of what it means to live in unconditional love. The vast majority of humanity has no comprehension what it means to live in unconditional love. And that's the place of the absolute maximum power, the field, the power that love can personify in a human form. So, do you want to make a difference? Do you feel any of this stuff resonating with you? To purify yourself is to cleanse the karmic imprinting from your past. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall know God. Humanity has seen this chapter, has seen this storyline long before it ever unfolded. This time of our human culture has been predicted, foretold for thousands of years. The 2012 transition of our human consciousness has been spoken of for a very, very long time. And our souls, your soul, my soul, looked at this span of time on the planet Earth. Before we were born, our souls looked at this time and said, holy cow, this is going to be a game changer. Look at what's happening to the collective consciousness of humanity on the planet Earth. And we're going to incarnate down as these human beings, and we're going to live our lifetime right in the thick of it, right in the thick of the transition of humanity. When the tide rises, all ships are affected. When the rise of human consciousness goes up, all of humanity is touched. There are those souls that chose this lifetime to come to planet Earth to be the ones, to be the leaders of the light, to be the first ones out of the gate that can come out of the darkness of their own persona, talking about your own persona now, your own personal energy persona. There's legions of souls that chose to come to Earth now in this lifetime and be the ones that shed the karma, to shed the shadow of their past and personify unconditional love. Oh my, oh my God. Remember, God's not coming down as some flipping orb, some glow-in-the-dark deity from the heavens to transform our human consciousness. A billion prayers have been said to end wars, and as we speak, war is being fought on this planet. God is going to show up through flesh and bones in the form of love. When you embody your divinity, when you embody the light, the truth of you is you are a being of light that have loaded your ass up with karma over many lifetimes so you could experience what it felt like to experience what the human condition would feel like to come out of darkness and into light. And we couldn't really have this conversation 100, 200, 300 years ago in mass. It might be spoken of in a cave where the monks are hanging out meditating. But here we are, globally becoming aware. We are globally becoming aware as a sea of humanity of what it means to embody the divine within us, of what it means to have a notion of what personal power is, to have a notion that your consciousness is someplace between the floor and the ceiling, and that if you choose to take on a practice to move your consciousness up just a little bit farther away from the floor and closer to the ceiling, that your power rises. Your power increases. Your ability to be powerful just by existence, just by the field of consciousness that you are, rises, improves, strengthens, radiates, brighter than before. When you can get an idea, a notion of what this personal power is, understand what makes you go towards the floor and towards the ceiling or stay indifferent in the middle. Once you can mentally wrap your noggin around that, then you can start to make some conscious choices to change your personal power. Well, you've come to the right place. I'm here to language power, what power means. Do with it what you may. I'm not here to tell anybody what they should do or shouldn't do. I'm not here to say, oh, to be righteous, to be glorious, to be divine, you have to do X, Y, or Z. Forget that. What's the first word of the phrase unconditional love? Love without condition. To be in love with all that is. to be in love with every face of humanity. And I tell you what, I've been noodling and working on this for quite a while, and we each have our own experience of it. I'm not here to set up a stigma of how it is or isn't going to be for you. But love is something that keeps expanding. Love is something that keeps expanding you. It's really a curious thing. The more you give it consciousness, the more it changes you. The more you focus on love, the more your own consciousness expands. To get to a point to have unconditional love for all that is, that's a simple sentence to say. A lot of simple. And for many of us, our souls chose this lifetime for us to come out of the darkness and claim our divinity, to claim our light. The glory of God is through the personification of a human being. Because God's not coming as a deity. God's not going to come down and answer the prayer lickety-split. It's not going to happen. But God will show up to those human beings that cleanse and purify the karmic imprinting of the past, raise their power level, and move towards embodying unconditional love, embodying the light of love. I wrote a book, Personal Power Fundamentals, The Power of the Persona in a Fundamental Way. What makes you move closer to the floor? What makes you closer to the ceiling or the light? What decides how you take on or release karma? What decides if you're moving towards more power or surrendering your power to karmic imprinting? The ability to embody unconditional love is a curious place to live, because the ego, for most of us on the planet, our ego has no experience with love. It's a funny thing to say, but perhaps our ego has a, quote, painful experience, unquote, of love. Love by itself has no pain. The pain of love comes from our karma, our karmic imprinting, when we go to experience love. And any pain you've had from love in the past, love apologizes for that pain, but it also removes any responsibility for the pain. Love didn't do it. Love doesn't hurt when it's whole and complete. You can find a place of love in you in this lifetime where the love has so much to offer you. Self-love, your own self-love, can show you a vision of your life that'll make your ego cry with happiness. Love can show you a vision of your life that is so overwhelming to your mind and ego. And love gladly fulfills that vision if you can show up for it, if you can embody it, if you can cleanse and align the energy of your own personal energy persona. So there's nothing contrary. There's an idea of faith, that faith is having no thought contrary. When you have the faith of a mustard seed, when you have faith that it will happen, there's no other thought within your persona contrary. In other words, the totality of your being knows, not believes, knows the truth of what will be. when you know the truth of what will be in your future because love has shown you, and you've mastered the art of not cringing when love shows up, and you can stay in the vision, the idea of what your life can be when it personifies love, then all limits melt away. All limitations dissolve. It's God's good pleasure. It's the divine's good pleasure. The divine within you, you are a personification of the light. If you go into the very, 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 very core of your being, you're pure white light. And if I go in the very, 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 very core of my being, it's pure white light, and it's the same light. We are all one. As you choose to empower yourself, as you choose to engage and embark on a journey of raising your personal power, it's going to take you through all aspects of your humanity. It's going to take you through every relationship that you've ever had. You can have karma with any noun, virtual or real. You can have karma with the color blue. You can have karma with the silence before a gunshot. You can have karma with an etherical concept. You can have karmic imprinting about any symbol, idea, or concept. When you go to purify your own personal persona, blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll let all their light right out. Purity affords all that is to express itself without hindrance or tether. When you go to embody the totality of who you are as a divine personification, every single aspect of your humanity will come into the journey of you embodying the truth that will set you free. The more karma you have, the less freedom you have. If you're living down by the floor and you have codependency, depression, any form of human suffering, you're not free. You have a karmic momentum. You have a karmic propensity. You have a repetitive tendency in karmic reactions. To be free, the truth of what will set you free is the purification of your persona, is the purification of the karmic imprinting of your past. So can you love your experience of being human? Can you love the karmic imprinting of your past, every single flavor of it? As you delve into your humanity more and more and more, there's an aspect of our humanity that society has labeled shameful, that society has labeled taboo, that society has so flippin' much dogma over, and that's our sexuality. Our sexuality, our relationship with our bodies, our relationship with our sense of self. Our sexuality is our relationship with our divinity, because it's kind of curious how we all have this hardwired aspect of our sexuality within us. Certainly we can lose it. Certainly we can ignore it. Certainly we can suppress it. But that the spark of our sexuality as a sexual drive is the spark of what created all that is to begin with. And there's practices out there, Tantra is one of them, that takes you into the realm of sexuality and brings a practice of engaging the sexual experience. And when you do that, it's a very powerful place to cleanse your persona. When we approach our sexuality, and this isn't, a college frat party sexuality. This isn't the shadow side of our sexuality. This is the sacred side of our sexuality. Kind of the last mile, if you will, because on this planet there's so much shame, there's so much tabooness put around a very, very powerful aspect of ourselves that it's not really talked about. It's not really portrayed as a pathway to purification, as a pathway to increasing our personal power. But in the right context, in a sacred but open and accepting, and those two words, open and accepting, are the polar opposite of what we've been taught about. But the open and accepting aspect of the truth of who we are, our sexuality is a vehicle. When a pure, authentic man and a pure, authentic woman come together in co-union, where two or more have gathered, when the healthy masculine and the healthy feminine come together in intimacy as a sexual expression of desire for humanity, that's when the mountains move. That's when paradigms are lucid, they become soft, they become pliable. And through the co-creation of healthy masculine and healthy feminine, the tides can turn at an accelerated rate, if you will. When we talk about this year, 2017, here we are, the first episode of this year, and it's always an honor for me to share this time with you. 2017 is going to be about people who understand the truth of who they are as a divine, powerful personification of the divine, of divine power, of divine love. When your ego, when your mind can say, well, I'm here to love. Well, I'm here to embody the light. Well, I'm here to see the truth of all that is and accept it for what it is. And then be the field of love, of unconditional love. Then I'm fulfilling the vision my soul had before I was even born. And every single time you fulfill the vision of your soul, your heart feels satisfied and your ego feels joy. Joy to the world. Wow. When you understand your life purpose, perhaps, this doesn't apply to everyone, but if your life purpose, if this material resonates with you, and you feel indeed that your spiritual journey is front and center in your mind, is front and center in your values day to day, is right up front with what you want to accomplish in this lifetime, I suggest you take the time to learn what it means to embody power, the power of love, the power of divine love. There's an art to it. There's a methodology to it. I've been fascinated with it for quite a while, quite a while. I'm writing yet another book that should be out in the springtime here in 2017 about the span of love and how it touches us in so many different ways. I've enjoyed writing the book so much because it shares a lot of my own personal journey. I was born and raised in a Mormon household where sex was the most taboo thing on the planet. God was some being outside of me that was going to judge me, and if he found me short of favor, he would separate me from my family and burn my ass in hell forever. The polar opposite, in other words, the polar opposite of divine love. And in my book, I share the journey of what it took for me to understand what power was, what personal power was, how power has an effect as a field in our human consciousness, in our collective consciousness, and then how to purify your field, clean up the karmic imprinting of your past, and to be able to totally embody love without condition. And it's such a thick, rich journey of transformation and change. And I'm not done yet. I'm just starting to get good at it. And I mean, it seems like every month or two, I feel a deeper sense of it, a deeper connection to all that is, to all of humanity. And I tell you what, I feel so fortunate, so lucky. I don't know if luck's the word, but I am so blessed to be me and to live on this planet and fulfill my purpose, languaging what I'm here to language. And I'm doing it tonight on this radio show, giving you a glimpse. Hopefully, some of this you might already know, some of it might be new, but don't look any farther than yourself. You're here to be you. You can't copy anybody else and truly feel satisfied. You're here to be you. What's your life purpose? What stirs your soul? Where do you feel passionate when you express yourself? Show up for that. It'd be my joyous pleasure to help you with that journey. New human living is all about that. Follow us on this radio show. We're going to load this year up with some very powerful guests. Read my books. Read my blogs. I'm here to help you understand the nature of power and how to embody it as love. I don't want to tell you what to think, what to believe, how to behave, what to choose. Those are all your thoughts. That's personal sovereignty. That's not my domain. I'm not here to tell anybody that. But I am here to tell you, love will kick your ass in such a good way if you let it. But you have to open to love. You have to let it in. I wrote the book Citizen King to teach your ego not to be afraid of love. Because love is very powerful. Love is very powerful, and your ego can be intimidated by it. Your ego can avoid it. Your ego can make choices that keep you separated from love. So if you're really going to empower yourself to show up as a powerful, capable, lovable human being here on planet Earth during this time of our human story, then take the time to understand what personal power is all about and your role with it. We've done so many radio shows. I'm so delighted to provide this vehicle for you. And I thank Susan, who does a lot of the back planning of all our shows and gets all the guests online. Susan's a big part of this. And at this first episode, I want to be sure to thank her. You know, life's a wonderful thing when you can show up for it. It's been my pleasure. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Until next time, thanks for listening.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.